Now, just 1 week into the new year, and perhaps you're wondering, what now? There are so many things that we have no control over, so many things we cannot possibly predict. Yet that does not mean that we do not have some control over many things, and doesn't mean we're without any insight into what the future might hold for us. My daughter, Mandy, many of you have met Mandy and know Mandy. She and her family attended with us for a number of years. Recently cited a passage of Scripture and a challenge that she put forth to the youth group in their church in Ohio, where they're ministering, which I believe would be worth a careful consideration for us today. It's the opening verses of Psalm 119, and this is going to be as rendered in the Message, in the Message. David says, "You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him." That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road He set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. Thank you for speaking straight from your heart. As I learn the pattern of your righteous ways, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Now, that last line would be a great resolution for 2023 for all of us, don't you think? Matter of fact, I'd ask you, could you say it with me? Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Well, what if you're telling me to do something that's out of my comfort zone? Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Well, what if it's risky? Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Well, what if it's scary? Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. The New Living Translation translates verse 7 and 8 of this text, Psalm 119, like this. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. Please don't give up on me. The way to show appreciation for God's grace and mercy and His incredible patience, and praise the Lord, He's not given up on us. Not a single one of us. He's not given up on us. So the way to show our gratitude for that is by living in such a way as to demonstrate how thankful we really are. How many of you know that's true? How many of you really deep down know that's true? That's the way to tell Him, I'm thankful for the salvation, the mercy, the grace you've extended to me, for the new life you've given me. And I want to show my gratitude. I want to express that by living the way you now call me to. How many of you know that's right? Of course it is. And if you get nothing else from today's lesson, and you get that, I'll be pleased. But there are some very important principles also in this passage that I'd like us to focus on this morning for just a little while. First of all, there's a way forward, and it's been mapped out for us. We don't need to stumble around aimlessly, not knowing which way to turn in life. If we want to avoid stress and to be blessed, there's a course we can take, and I don't mean a college class or a self-help instructional video on YouTube. I'm referring to the counsel of God that we find in the Bible. Now, returning from a brief vacation in Ohio over the holidays, I couldn't help but notice a sign that was showing, it was very, I don't know, probably 5-6 times on the Indiana Turnpike, the sign was there. And it read, "Leave earlier, drive slower, live longer." Now, no doubt there's some wisdom in that. But to be honest, all the sign really did for me was remind me of a line from an old Star Trek series. "My arthritic hands need a little help these days to form Spock's live long and prosper, but it's not a Vulcan blessing that I'm seeking anyway. Like David, I want God's approval." How many of you want His approval too? How many of you really want His approval in the new year? Well, guess what? We can have that approval. His word also tells us that if we have his approval, we're going to find long life and even some prosperity. See, we can live long and prosper, and that's not a Vulcan thing. That's a God thing. Deuteronomy 11:9, for instance, has this to say. If you obey, you'll enjoy a long life in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors and to you, their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, that was said to the Israelites so long ago, but again, the expression to you and the descendants, to all of those, again, who would be God's people, this promise is there. But notice the little word, if. It's a big word. It really is. If you obey, you can enjoy this. That means the promise is conditional. In order to glean all that God has in store for us, we need to be obedient to his counsel. If we obey, we can have that longer life and that prosperity. Now, it can't get much plainer than that, I don't think, but it's not necessarily a popular concept these days. Too many want wealth and they want health handed to them on a silver platter without any strings. Have you noticed that? But it's the Lord's direction that leads to a place of blessing here. Is it a guarantee or merely a possibility? Well, the best way I can think of to answer that this morning is to say it's a primary principle of great probability. When we were studying the Proverbs, I kept emphasizing that they weren't absolutes, but there were principles we would follow. We would find that the course we were taking would be far better for us, and the opportunities for us would be far better, and we would find blessing upon blessing if we would do that. Think of it like this. Choosing a nutritious diet and moderate exercise is undoubtedly best if we want to have a long and healthy life. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it's almost every year, about this time, somebody, many people, myself too, makes resolutions about diet and exercise, right? So many people do that. It's probably number one, you know, on resolution lists. So we understand, we agree in principle that that's the best thing to do. Yet, listen to me, that won't make us invulnerable to fatal accidents, illnesses, injury, or consequences from foolish decisions. I certainly know far too many who were cut down in the prime of their life due to someone's reckless and careless choices or just the fact that we live in a fallen world where there's so much sickness all around us. It's also true that some of the people who follow God very closely experienced poverty and died young. John the Baptist, for one. The Apostle James, for another, the first martyr. And Jesus, of course. They didn't have material wealth, and their lives were cut short by evil men. Yet the legacies they have left us live on as their examples of faithfulness inspire us yet today, don't they? Their lives may have been short, but their lives were full, rich, meaningful, leaving us legacy. They teach us that a longer, happier life on earth shouldn't be our primary goal. And so often it is, isn't it? Though we all long for those things, to greater or lesser degrees, it's not the number of years or the abundance of possessions that give life true meaning. They're not. So many people pursue those thinking that's what makes life meaningful. Neither the passing of years nor the size of a bank account can fulfill our hearts and souls. They can't. What can? Well, here are a few more excerpts from Psalm 119. This is verse 35 through 37. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love of money. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Then in verse 45, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Verse 57 through 60. Lord, you are mine. I promise to obey your words. With all my heart, I want your blessings. Be merciful as you promised. I ponder the direction of my life and I turn to follow your ways. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. David knew where true happiness is found. He also knew that real freedom is discovered when we walk in God's way. Now, I want you to think on that a minute. When we truly understand, God's instruction is not restricting, it is liberating. How can that be? I mean, don't rules and laws cramp our style? That's what we think, right? Well, that's what the devil convinced Adam and Eve of in the very beginning, isn't it? That their style was being cramped by the one rule. Yet, they soon discovered the weight of the chains of sin and death. The Hebrew word translated freedom in Psalm 119:45 is used to describe the open square of a city. It literally refers to a wide, open, free space. So when David says, I walk in freedom, think about that. He's walking with liberty. He's walking with so much more freedom. He's living out his life with so much more fulfilling. It's not restricting. It's freeing. It's freeing. It's important to stop here for a minute. Keeping God's laws isn't always going to coincide with the things that we want to do, though. But in keeping them, again, we find happiness and freedom. How can that be when we don't always get the freedom that God's giving us to do whatever we want? Well, think about it. In keeping them, we're freed from guilt and condemnation. We're not restrained by evil passions and corrupt desires. In Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul reminds those who have been united with Christ of this. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin. Now notice, once. But now you are wholeheartedly able to obey this teaching we've given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul also wrote to believers there, the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Free to obey. What? Free to obey. Now, there's a concept. Think about that again. Free to obey. Given the permission, but also given the ability to live in this relationship with God and to be able to not just comply with His wishes, but to enjoy the benefit of those wishes in our life. The freedom to do that. The Scripture is real clear that, you know what? Our sinfulness, our sinful nature, our flesh inhibited us from living in the freedom that God wanted us to have. We weren't capable, again, without His strength, wisdom, help. But with His help, His strength, wow, we're given the liberty and ability to live out this free life. It's wonderful. Another thing is that we're also free of the worry of trying to figure out constantly what's right and what's wrong. Now, do you know anybody that's ever struggled with that? Have you ever personally struggled with that? You've got a decision before. Yeah, well, what's the right thing to do here? What's the right thing to do? What should I do? Well, when we walk in God's ways, we know that His way is always right. The path that He guides us on is always the right path. The things He calls us to do is always the right thing to do. And it's always going to have the right result in the end. I frequently use a GPS when traveling. Many of you guys know that. I've talked about that before. It's extremely useful for me when I don't know where I'm going. It is. It's helpful. It's also a blessing whenever I'm distracted, reminding me of which way to turn ahead. There have been times I
I confess, I've been in, like the middle lane or the fast lane, and I'm listening to music or I'm in conversation with somebody on the phone, through Bluetooth, of course, that way, and I miss my exit. Just go right by it. I know what I should be, but I miss it. Anybody else ever do that? Where this, GPS will say, in 1 mile, oh, okay, so I'll start getting over, or maybe earlier. But anyway, it can be so helpful. And when I get off course, well, GPS can help me get back on track. And I have gotten off course many times. Used to be in the early ones that I had, they would always say recalculating whenever I'd make a wrong turn. Recalculating. They stopped doing that. It was so annoying. But you know what? Telling me, get back on course. You've gone off course. I'm going to get you back. But God doesn't need to recalculate. He doesn't need to do that. He just said, get back on course. And if we'll listen to him, be sensitive to him, he will direct us right back where we need to be. So the most important question we need to ask ourselves is whether or not we're listening to God's guidance. Are we sensitive to the Spirit's leading? Are we doing that? And not just listening. The idea is, again, are we responding to what he's telling us? Are we pursuing his desire for us? Are we following the path that he laid out for us? Are we seeking his way and walking in it? I have known people in my life who have sought counsel from God's word, and they've come to me and asked me, well, what's God's word say? And I've showed them very clearly, and they've still chosen to go their own way. See, it's one thing to seek it. It's another thing about when you find it, will you respond to it? It's another. Now, what if we haven't been walking in his way? What if we haven't been sensitive to his leading? What if we haven't been paying attention to his guides? What if we haven't been? What then? Well, here's an excerpt from my daughter Mandy's article. Are you ready? Guilt and regrets can really weigh us down and often keep us from living the lives God has called us to live. But in 2 Corinthians 7:10, we're also told that godly sorrow brings about repentance. There are times that reflection is important, and being sorry for the times we've strayed off course can help reignite a fire inside of us to live our lives more fully committed to him. The Apostle Paul tells in 1 Corinthians 11:28 to examine ourselves before partaking of the Lord's Supper. And he also reminds us in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. This indicates, she writes, that godly reflection is needed for Christians and plays an important role in our lives. Proud of my daughter. She's right on. What course do we have then if we've strayed off course? Well, of course, we need to get back on course and stay on course. Sorry about all that, but you get the point. You get the point. And no one can show us what course to take better than Jesus or how to get back on course if we got off course. He's the prime example. He's the prime instructor. After all, listen to some things he said in John's gospel. John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Notice the if again. If you follow me. He's the light. He gives us the light that leads to life. But you need to follow him. That's an invitation worth accepting. I'd a whole lot rather be able to see where I'm going, wouldn't you? I'd a whole lot rather be following someone who knows where they're going, wouldn't you? David says of God's word in Psalm 119:105 that it was a light to his path. Do we allow for God's word to illuminate our path? To show us the way? Then in John 12:26, Jesus says this, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now did you catch that? Whoever serves me must follow me, and the Father will honor those who serve him. So the idea, the Father will honor those who follow him. that follow him? Do we want the honor of God? Do we want his blessings? Do we want him to be there with us and guide us and help us through our lives? If we do, follow him. The Father in heaven honors those who follow the Son. Finally, in John 14:6, the word from the Lord Jesus is one that most of you here could probably quote. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So Jesus not only knows the way, he is the way. So why not set our course today to walk with him through life? I referred to a GPS earlier. I usually these days use Google Maps on my phone. My wife prefers to still use the Garmin. Though you might think she's made the drive back and forth to Ohio so many times, she shouldn't need it, right? I don't know how many people have told me here, well, can't you just point the car in the right direction now and it'll go? Well, there are times, though, when even a different route is preferred or necessary because of detours. But it's also good to be able to plot a step-by-step journey on that device if she wants to take a different route, and saving it to Trip Planner, that Trip Planner app. And it's been a real help to her and to me at times. When we say, well, we don't want to go the main course, the main way. We want to go another route. It can be helpful. Now, here's the bottom line. Though Jesus is the only way, the way he takes us through life will not always be exactly the way that he takes another person through. We listen to him. We follow him. And let him direct our steps. God is ready and willing to plan our journey through life for us, for each one of us. In many ways, he's already done that. We just need to make the decision whether or not we will follow his course or our own. See, it's time to choose. It's time to choose. We'll be blessed if we walk in his ways. He promises that. He will bless us. He will be with us every step of the journey. That's the greatest blessing of all. We don't walk it alone. He won't forsake us. He won't leave us. It's time to choose. I shared before that many years ago, when I was talking to a congregation about revival, one of the sweet sisters in the congregation came up to me afterwards, and she said, well, how does this start? She said, how does the church get a revival? How does this start? And I said, well, it starts with you. I said, what? It starts with you. It starts with each person, each individual. Because the church is not just a collective body. We're all members of it. And we need to pray for and ask for revival. But that begins with us surrendering and submitting to. Resurrendering, I might even add, as we sang earlier. If we already have done that before. And resubmitting to his leadership in our life. How many of you want revival today? How many of you want it not just for yourself, but your families, your church family, the church across the globe, but in people who maybe don't even know God at this time, that he might reach out and touch them and revive their spirits in a way they didn't even think was possible? Let's be praying for that. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you again for your word, your wisdom, your guidance, your truth. Thank you, Father, for your patience again with us. Father, I confess and to these folks here and certainly before you that I've strayed off course more than once in my life. And I thank you, Father, that you guided me back. And sometimes, Father, and more times maybe than I think, you've used someone else who was walking with you to urge me to get back on track. I thank you for them. I thank you for their sensitivity to you, for their willingness to walk with you and choose that path that you've laid out for them, and for their willingness and their boldness sometimes that it took to invite me and others to join them on the way. Thank you for Jesus who provides not only the way, who is the way. We put our faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name, and amen.